Welcome to the BAM Comic Book Podcast. Whether it's comic books, movies, 3 seconds in and fucked it. Welcome, everyone. That'll be the end. Or will it just be in the start? Just leave it in.
Yeah.
Fuck it. Oh, Carly's away. All the rules are out the window.
Exactly.
Welcome to the BAM Comic Book Podcast. Whether it's comic books, movies, or TV, we'll be talking about it right here on the BAM Comic Podcast.
Did it in two.
That's the motto. The official placard. Good enough. Welcome to issue 29. Issue 29 of the BAM Comic Podcast. Can you believe it? Averaging out at 2 a month. Oh, we're workhorses.
Well, that was the plan originally.
Yeah, and we're kind of sticking to it.
It's taken a year and a half.
It's taken a year and a half, but here we are, 29 episodes. In this episode, it's me and Stu. Carly's off on international espionage.
Yeah, currently she's in the land of the maple syrup.
Oh,
I think.
You can
narrow it. She's on the East Coast somewhere anyway.
So. I don't know. We should probably know that, shouldn't we?
Yeah, I don't know. She checks in every now and then, it's fine.
It's proof of life.
Yeah.
She's still going. So yeah, it's a boys special. It's just me and it's just Stu. We've both got our tops off and I can tell you that Stu has nipples like saucers. It's quite distracting.
Oh, I thought you were going to reference the Joel Schumacher Batman movies. Keep it back to the comics, you know. Nipples on the back costume.
Oh, right. I thought you were going to say, like, you had, like, Batman Forever tattoo, like a full cast chest tattoo.
That's on my thigh.
Right, I fucking would do. The best Batman film.
Batman Forever?
Yeah.
Hmm.
We'll come to this. Hmm. We'll do Patreon episodes where we review Batman movies, because this could take all night.
Can you believe it's 20 years since Batman and Robin?
I know, I think I did a tweet.
Oh, that's where I got it from.
Probably.
I think we should watch it, because I've always said it's the worst movie I've ever seen,
which is fair.
But is it though? I wonder if I watch it now, is it as bad as I remember it?
20 years ago I had a huge crush on both Uma Thurman and Alicia Silverstone, and I still thought it was among the worst films I've ever seen. Not even that could save it.
I couldn't save it.
Not even my raging hormones could forgive it. Forgive its trespasses. Even the way she talks, Alicia's still like, Uncle Alfred!
She wasn't Barbara Gordon, was she? She was Alfred's niece or something.
Yeah.
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 Oh, God.
It's all coming back to you.
No, I remember coming out of it thinking that George Clooney made a good Bruce Wayne. I think historically people say he was the worst Batman and Bruce Wayne, but I remember thinking at the time that he had that kind of smarm, suave.
He was good.
It was just in a George Clooney impression, to be fair, so.
Much like Batman is just doing an impression of Bruce Wayne, or vice versa.
Dun, dun, dun.
Maybe he was the greatest Batman. Fuck it, right? Oh, God, we could go on about Batman movies all podcasts, and we probably will. But, anyway,
yeah.
Carly's not here. It's just you and me. You can tell because there is no cakes. There is tea.
I'm doing it for your own good, and mine.
I'm a fat man, Stu. I need cakes to podcast.
I've told you I'm trying to cut back on sugar, and I quite seriously as well. And it's
no fun, Stu. You're telling me. No, I have as well, and I've been properly crashing out this week.
No one tells you about the headaches.
No.
It's, yeah, I don't know.
Anyway, welcome to middle-aged men. talk about their health. Fuck it, right, let's talk about comics. You've been on an adventure, I haven't, but we've both read fuck tons of comics.
We have.
So tell me what's coming up and let's talk about it.
So I went to the colonies for...
Hello, American listeners. He means you.
Sorry. Yeah, I went to LA for the E3 video game conference for work.
Right.
In quotation marks, work. But I tagged on some holiday days either side.
Right.
So I could do some touristy shit.
Yeah.
And which mainly compromised of me going to some comic book shops.
Nothing wrong with that.
And hitting up a couple of studios. Well, one studio. I went to Warner Brothers Studio on their tour. And the other thing wasn't a studio. It was Disneyland, which I've never been to before.
Never been to Disneyland.
It was.
In your 31 years on this earth.
31, I'll have that. Yeah, I'll take that.
You were about to say that Disneyland was excellent.
Is that going to be spoiler territory? I don't know.
Well...
So, yeah, I was never actually a Disney fan.
Right, not a Disney film.
No, not as a kid. I mean, I never really kind of got into the whole Mickey, Donald, all the movies. It wasn't really my thing.
Right.
But anyway, maybe I should come onto this, talk about this in a moment.
All right.
So you got that.
Yeah.
And like you say, the big thing.
Yeah.
So Burt Ward passed away.
No, he didn't.
No, he didn't. Just reading my notes.
You will cut that. You will cut that. In fact, you'll dog, you'll cut that.
I won't. I'll leave it. Sorry.
There's someone sitting there like with their hot beverage. Like, but it won as well.
I was going for the clicks. That's what it was.
Fake
exclusive.
News.
Yeah.
Fake news. Taylor does it again.
Oh god, we're recording this. It's quite late. That's my only excuse.
Yeah.
And also, I was reading my notes, and they say Burt Ward on them. But that's to do with Adam West passing away.
Yeah.
And that actually happened the Saturday I was out there, and I was staying in North Hollywood. Like 5 minutes walk from his star on the Walk of Fame.
Yeah.
So I went down that night. There was a memorial out there. I actually tweeted photos of that as well.
Yeah, it's on our Facebook page and Twitter account.
Yeah. And then on the Thursday, the City Hall in LA was lit up with a bat signal as part of a memorial for him. And Burt Ward was there. He was alive.
He was there. He was when you last left Burt Ward, yeah. He was alive.
Definitely.
Disclaimer.
Exactly.
If Burt Ward is dead by the time this airs... He was
nothing
definitely alive the last time we saw him.
I was on the Metro at that point. I'd gone. I'd left the scene.
Oh, listen to you, the Metro. You're so LA-centric.
I know. That, do you know what, though? People are afraid of using the Metro. Like, you go over for the E3 conference. Like, not the Brits.
It's bizarre, isn't it?
Not the Brits won't do it. They'll go, oh, no, I'll get a cab.
It's like, Brit, you go on the tube every day, you silly pricks.
And also, it saves you a fortune.
Absolutely.
$40 cab ride, one way. Or $25... 7 days, infinite travel on the Metro. There you go. Not only comics knowledge here, you get travel tips as well. So anyway, that was a big thing, I think, that I managed to go down and was actually as part of that memorial.
Well, it looked amazing. What an absolute kicker it was, definitely, for all our Batman snark that we ever talk about. A lot of fond memories of Adam West as Batman.
That's my childhood.
Really sad. He maybe never did reach the dizzying heights that he maybe thought he's destined for, but he certainly won a place in everyone's hearts.
I think he certainly... Well, no, I don't know, because the thing is, though, you look back at that series, and it was massive at the time.
It was Beatles Mania.
Yeah. So it was a success, and I guess I watched it in the 70s.
I watched it in the 80s.
Yeah, and it's, so it's a generational thing, and I think he had a kind of second wind off the back of the Tim Burton Batman movies, because I do remember back in 89... him making a lot of TV appearances, like on the sofa on, breakfast shows.
Bit of Wogan
as well. Which I guess for American listeners is Jimmy Kimmel? No, it's not, is it? No, we're looking at...
A gracious...
comparison.
Britain doesn't have that many channels. Anyway, he was big news.
He was big news.
Big news then and again.
Yeah, and of course, Family Guy. Famous for Family Guy.
Essentially played himself.
Yep, and then one thing that we haven't seen, well, I'm assuming you haven't seen it, is the animated return of the Caped Crusader, which reunited Adam West and the not-dead Burt Ward, which came out last year, I think, and I think they've confirmed that he had finished recording a second animated 60s movie as well.
Oh.
So we've still got some Adam West Batman to come.
I believe he cameoed in the 90s animated series as well.
He did. The Grey Ghost. Yeah. That was pretty cool.
But that's a deep cut. Like, you don't have, if you're listening to this, you don't have to know that.
You should
until,
do, but you should
do. Until we do a Patreon where we do like every single episode
of the animated series. That'll be a show.
Yeah.
So since we're on that, so I guess I can talk a bit more about that memorial. So I walked down to City Hall.
Mm-hmm.
I knew it'd be busy, but I was actually stunned about how busy it was.
Right.
I haven't got the exact attendance figures here. Actually, I probably should have done that before I got recording. But hey, we're nothing if not prepared. I managed to walk my way down to the probably about 20 rows back.
Okay.
So it's pretty close to the front.
Right.
And there was a real mix of people there, like young and old, loads of kids in Batman costumes. And loads of girls in Wonder Woman outfits.
Yeah.
You would have seen a photo up on our Facebook and Twitter of, a couple of cosplayers I saw.
Mm-hmm. Was it a sort of MCM vibe for comparison?
I guess so. It was kind of a real, it was more of a, of your everyday
Joe
really, as well. You know, it's like less fans, if that makes sense. You know, it's more sort of like the average person, because it was quite nice to see how much of a appeal he had, really.
Yeah, absolutely.
Beyond just the fans.
Yeah.
The hardcore fans, rather. Yes, it was really, really good vibe. It was kind of weird seeing like an original gangster style Batman from like the 60s next to like a modern Harley Quinn from Suicide Squad. But yeah, that kind of showed how
the legacy
across the generations. There was a bat phone on a pedestal on the steps of City Hall, which was a really good prop. So it was obviously that was going to be used. There was quite people getting quite impatient. Yeah, for the start of it, I heard a couple of like really bad Christian Bale impersonations. You know, like, where are they? Where is she? So when they actually started it, they announced it as Citizens of Gotham, which was, nice. Was going to go down well.
Nice.
And they were there to sort of commemorate who they referred to as their own Bright Knight, which I was like, oh, nice touch.
Nice touch.
I can't remember the exact speech, but there was like a little dig at the Penguin, which had a kind of Trump angle to it, which I thought was quite good as well. And they rattled off all the kind of the classic, you know, all the Batman actors, but they missed one out.
Oops.
Which, if we link back to what you said was the best Batman movie.
Really? It was poor Val.
They missed poor Val out.
Oh, sorry, Val.
Yeah. Just was a bit harsh. He was alright.
Yeah, he's fine.
Yeah, he's alright. But yeah, so that was quite cool. And then Burt Ward came out. Who else was there? It was like the West family.
Right.
Jim Lee from DC Comics was there. And there was a representative from Warner Brothers movies as well, but I can't remember who it was. It wasn't, anyway. So when Burt came out, he started off with saying Wowie Zowie, which was like,
oh, wow.
Yeah, he's going old school.
Well, fair enough. Bloody sad.
Yeah.
Bloody sad. I wonder, I've not tuned in yet, but there's a rather famous aficionado of Batman merch called Ralph Garman over there, who does a podcast. He's a radio DJ.
Right.
He does a podcast with Kevin Smith about comic news. Obviously, they're not as successful as we are.
Oh, clearly not.
Obviously not. But
they obviously have aspirations to be.
Yeah. Like, he was instrumental in getting Adam West at Star.
Okay.
I wonder if a lot of the bat props actually came from him, but I'll catch up at some point. As I say, you can't listen to these other podcasts about comic news. They do exist.
They do. So there you go. I mean, I don't know if the signal's still on it, like a couple of weeks on there.
Yeah.
But it was pretty cool. It was projected on the side of City Hall, and managed to get some good photos of it.
Check out our Facebook page.
Yeah, that was cool. It was good. It was kind of really sad that it happened, but I felt fortunate enough to kind of be out there. And when it was announced, I thought, I've got to go down there. And I think you'd messaged me about it as well. And I was like, I've got to go.
Did I message you or did I just put it on the BAM page? I didn't quite know how to broach the subject with you because I thought you might be quite, oh, no.
I think you'd messaged me that he passed, but I'd already seen it on Twitter. You sent me like a Facebook message about the memorial that was going to happen.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I've got to do it, The only thing I would have had planned that evening was getting hammered in a bar somewhere, and I thought, well, is that what Adam West would have wanted?
Probably is.
That's pretty true.
So what else about Los Angeles? You said you went to some comic shops.
I did. So I went to two.
Right.
I actually had planned this out as well. I planned out. Good boy. Where I was staying in North Hollywood was a 10-minute walk from Meltdown Comics on Sunset Boulevard.
Have I been to that one?
I went in there and I remember thinking I'd been there before, and yes, I think 3 years ago when we were both doing E3, we'd gone in there.
Right.
I think it was the same trip. We ended up going to, was it Carney's for the hot dog?
Yeah.
It's all on the same strip.
Listen to us.
Yeah, we're veterans. Yeah. We're veterans. Yeah, so I went to Meltdown second on my trip, actually.
Mm.
We'll go that first. I popped in there on New Comic Book Day on a Wednesday. Mm. It's really cool. Really nice vibe. Nice, bright and airy. So picked up some new releases from there.
Yeah.
It seemed to have quite a wide indie section as well. Back issue wise, it didn't look so hot.
Right, yeah.
Which, for me that was, that's what I was kind of going in there for, really.
Mm.
The first shop I went to, though, was Legacy Comics and Cards in Glendale.
Yeah.
Which was a short Uber away. Man alive. I bought some comics.
I can see that.
Do you want to? Yeah, look at those. Look at those piles.
You're talking, it's almost two stacks of about 30 each?
Have you added
them up yet?
No, I think it's about like 50 to 60 comics, which basically is just split between, The Avengers and Amazing Spider-Man. So it's like mid to late 1980s stuff. Stuff I read as a kid.
Yeah.
And like an Egypt got shot of. So I'd gone in with a list. I'd actually written a list before I left the country of like gaps in the collection. Because I have a habit of like not doing that and then end up buying duplicates because I kind of forget what I have and haven't got.
Yeah.
So yeah, I kind of came away with just those. There was actually other stuff I was after, but I had to stop because I was very conscious. I got to get into a suitcase and get it back.
Yeah.
And the guys there were really, really helpful. To the point they were saying, oh, you know, we do mail order. You know, you can always like get it and we can mail it. I'm like, no, I'm leaving now. But it was awesome. Like, I think I put a photo up again through our Twitter.
You can see Carly in the back.
Yeah, she doesn't know she's in the photo. She's literally on her mobile.
Carly.
Yeah, at the end of the corridor of like this wall of like
comics. Huge. It's like the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark, but with comics.
It was like exactly huge. Like that. And that's like one side, and then imagine that again on the other side.
Yeah.
Yeah, really good selection. They had some like real old school key issues in a glass cabinet as you come in.
Yeah.
It was like a really early 60s Spider-Man. It was the first Iron Man they had from Tales. It was Tales of Suspense.
Yeah.
What was the other one? I think it's like a first Captain America as well, like modern age one.
Bloody hell!
So yeah, it was. Yeah, they had some good stuff. Good stuff.
Well, that's cool. So you managed to restrain yourself with only about 60 actual comics. Don't ask.
What? How much?
Yeah.
It was over $200, but actually probably closer to three. I think. Hey, you know that's why I'm single, isn't it? You know. So yeah, that was good. So really recommend both those stores for different reasons, really. I will be going back. So if I do the E3 next year, I'll be going back with them.
Yeah, hopefully.
Plug some more gaps.
Smuggle myself on board. Yeah. Was there anything? Oh, you went to Disney. Oh, you went to Warner's as well, didn't you?
Yeah, we'll cover that quickly. So, Warner Brothers Studio tour.
Which I've always wanted to go on.
I highly recommend it.
Yeah.
Like, it's really. It's because I've done the Universal Studios tour, which was really, really good.
Yeah.
And also, you get the, you know, you get to do some really cool roller coaster rides as well.
Yeah.
Warner Brothers Studios tour isn't a roller coaster ride, it is a proper working studio tour.
Yeah.
But it's awesome. For comic fans, you're going to get to see a dedicated Batman area where they've got all the Batmobiles.
Yeah.
Minus the 1966 classic one, which apparently is in private ownership.
Really?
Yeah. I did ask them. They had everything else, but they had, like, you know, from the 1989 Batmobile up to the modern one. What was it? Batman v Superman. They even had the Joker's car from Suicide Squad.
Oh, wow. But,
who cares about that?
Hey, I got called to task on that on Twitter the other day.
What, Suicide Squad?
Someone was saying that I defended Batman, Superman and Suicide Squad, and I'm like, you're definitely thinking of X-Men Apocalypse. I've never verbatimly said...
How dare you?
Never in a way that I could be convicted in a court of law approved of Batman versus Superman or Suicide Squad.
No.
Nonsense.
So that was really cool.
Yeah.
Part of the tour, you get to go into a working studio.
Oh, okay.
What do you call it? What are those things called?
Yeah,
well, buildings.
Props house, yeah.
Not props house. What's the thing you go and work in? I don't know what it's called.
What are they doing in there?
They're filming.
Oh, they're filming. So a set.
Set. Right. Sorry, that's what I was looking for.
This is why we don't record podcasts at 8 o'clock at night.
Exactly.
We're
getting old.
No, it's because you've had a week without sugar.
That's it.
Yeah.
So went to working set where they're doing it's a comedy series with Anna Faris. It's called Mom, I think.
Okay.
But anyway, I did take a photo and they filmed two Batman movies in there, which was
cool.
Batman Forever and Batman Robin, if I remember rightly. And that's kind of weird because, like, you go in these little sets,
yeah,
and obviously it's done up to be like a modern comedy, whatever. And it's kind of cool to think within these walls they've done other stuff. So so studio tour, highly recommend it. You get to do some cool stuff with green screens. So I actually rode the Batpod, to make just for a pure photo opportunity.
Well, that's what's there for.
Oh, sorry, yeah. So in the Batman room, you had the Bat Signal as well. Yeah. You get to operate the bat signal.
Yeah. It's very bat signal heavy week for you.
It was very, very bat. Mm. Yeah. And there's a whole DC room which had costumes and props from.
Oh my God!
Yeah, from. Well, Batman v Superman and Suicide Squad. So it had like original costumes.
Yeah.
And I imagine they're going to update this with Wonder Woman and Justice League.
Not too far away.
Yeah, they had some original comics in sort of glass cabinets.
Mm.
So you had like the first appearance of Green Lantern, and the modern crossover with The Flash where Barry Allen met Jay Garrick, Flash of Two Worlds. Superman issue one, Wonder Woman issue one, New Teen Titans issue one, not as scarce as the others. Aquaman issue one, and they had a copy of Batman issue one, but the cover was messy.
Huh.
So that's how rare they were. Interesting thing was they said, you can take photos in here, but don't use Flash on the comics.
Yeah.
And I was thinking it's some kind of Flash joke, but I couldn't think of that. But yeah.
That's pretty good.
There you go. So that's pretty cool. I mean, your mileage may vary on how excited you're going to be about the props and costumes, depending how much you liked those movies.
Yeah.
I kind of was impressed by the Batman costume and Superman costume.
I would be as well.
But I think I did take photos of Harley Quinn and the Joker's costume from Suicide Squad. The last one I was kind of like, while I'm here. But the rest of the Suicide Squad, I was like, meh, you can keep it.
Fair.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's something I think if you get a chance to go to LA, definitely do a studio tour.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it'll improve on the DC side of things as time goes on.
Yeah.
Since Wonder Woman's done all right, isn't it?
It's done all right. It's done all right, but we've touched upon that. That was last episode. Was last episode. So that was the studio tour. So tell me about Disney.
Oh, man.
Oh, boy.
Disneyland, on the other hand, I think it's terrible. Terrible value for money.
So why did you go to Disney?
So the reason I went to Disney is because there's more stuff that's of interest to me now when it comes to Marvel and Star Wars stuff.
Okay.
So prior to this, there'd have been no incentive for me to go to Disneyland. It just didn't appeal.
Yeah.
So I went there because the Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout ride had just opened up. I think it was like a week before.
So
it was like, well, yeah, it's because I like roller coaster rides. Let's go and do it.
Yeah.
So booked tickets. Took about an hour and a half to get there from where we were, because it's like the other side of California.
Yeah.
I don't know, because when I did Universal Studios the year before, and if you do a fast pass, you pay a bit extra, and by definition you get to go to a separate queue and get through really quickly.
Yeah.
So that Universal kind of spoiled my expectations for that. The system they've got in Disneyland, knowing that Disney's a smooth operation, I'm sure they've worked this out to the nth degree, but it just seemed a crap system.
Right.
So we got there at 10 a.m.
Yeah.
Made a beeline straight for the Guardians ride.
Yeah.
There's this whole system where you have to kind of put your pass ticket into a machine that spits out a separate ticket telling you when to come back to join the fast pass queue.
Yeah.
Which we did that, and it spat one out and went, oh yeah, come back in 5.5 hours. So we were like, what?
Crazy.
We were like, well, okay, well, we can go another ride. So we kind of went off to go and find something else. I think we went to Splash Mountain.
Uh-huh.
Went to try and get a fast pass ticket for that, and it was like, well, no, you've already got a fast pass.
Yeah.
Come back in, you can't get another one for 2 hours. It was like, well, right, that's really shit.
Yeah.
So we ended up doing crap rides that no one wanted to go on, like real kiddie rides.
Yeah.
We just did it because it was like, just do it because we've got nothing else to do. And the queues were shorter.
Yeah.
And then a couple of those broke down before we even got on them. It's like, right. So eventually, after a couple of hours of gone, we got another fast pass, and it was like, yeah, this one's for 2 hours away. And it's just, yeah, it was just a lot of it was just spent queuing.
You were listening to old men moan about their holidays. So Disney fucked it.
Yeah, so eventually you got on the Guardians ride.
Right.
It's pretty good.
Right.
It's pretty good. They filmed some stuff, not a lot of stuff, but they filmed some stuff for it, which has got all the cast in.
Oh, that's cool.
The story of the ride is that the collector, old Benicio, has captured the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right.
And Rocket has broken out. And he needs your help.
You, the listener.
Yeah, he needs you to help rescue the other Guardians, which is a big preamble for a elevator drop ride, which I didn't know was going to be elevator drop.
Right.
So a friend I was with was sat in this seats and stuff, and they strap you in, and then eventually it starts. And the carriage kind of pulls back, you're in, and then you see like a silhouette of Rocket who's on top of your carriage. He's not really. And then basically breaks the cable, and then the lift just drops. Apparently, I didn't realise I did this till afterwards. Like, apparently I'd grabbed my mate's leg. All I remember is scrambling to try and grab the handle. Because I think when you, I don't know if you've been on any elevator drops, when basically you're, it does feel like you've just come out of the seat.
Yeah.
And there's that feeling of panic.
Which,
you know, I didn't have. I think like, other people might get this. So yeah, it drops and it like shoots you back up again, and then it pauses, and then it just drops again and up again, and it, you know, at regular intervals it will stop.
Yeah.
And then the doors will open, and you've got like a projection screen of the Guardians like goofing around, and then it drops again, and you see them like in anti-grav. You know, so you're kind of not really interacting, but it's kind of giving the impression that.
This is what's happening. Right.
It's quite short.
Yeah.
You know, and again, if it turns out you get on with elevator drop rides, I really enjoyed it. It was great. That was good fun. It wasn't worth waiting 5.5 hours for. No. But yeah.
What was the gift shop like?
About to say the merch stuff was good. Yeah, actually a good thing at Disneyland is they had some good merch stores for each of the kind of themed ride. As you come out of the ride, obviously you have to go out for the gift shop. The thing that really struck me in a good way was a lot of female, girl-orientated stuff. So a lot of Gamora, they had a lot of Black Widow, like cool, like 70s retro Black Widow stuff. And the same for Star Wars, actually. They had loads of like female-aimed sort of clobber.
Oh, that's cool.
Which you don't really get reflected in like the stores over here when you go to like your supermarkets or your department stores, rather.
Yeah, you struggle.
Yeah,
they kind of like even Disney store to a lesser extent really struggles at that.
Yeah, but
it's a shame.
No, but I think you know with Disneyland they certainly cover those bases, and it seems to be they have a lot of stuff that's exclusive to Disneyland. So I did get like a Jawa T-shirt, which not really comic books, but you know it was pretty cool.
Necessarily be skipping ahead, but there was a comic involved. Did you get this comic free?
I did get it free, but I actually got, so it's the Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout official comic book.
There it is.
I think Marvel actually released it as a, you know, like a $4, $5 book.
Really?
Yeah. And so I got that. I went to a baseball game. The Monday night before. This wasn't the reason I went to the baseball game. Basically, everyone who attended got a free copy of this, which has like a variant cover on it. So I did get a bit twitchy because, like, you know, you're sat in like, you know, in the stands, and then there's loads of like strewn comic books in the aisles. People just don't want them like covered in like spilt Coke and stuff.
Oh no!
So I managed to, you know, keep two in good condition. Did you have a chance to read it?
I did have a chance to read it.
It's terrible, isn't it?
No, I actually
did you like it? Okay.
I really liked it.
Okay.
You pre-warned me. You were like, oh, this is... And I was like, no, this is good.
There you go.
I mean, it doesn't... Would it... It's a standalone?
Yeah.
I mean...
I'm not quite sure whether it's the comic Guardians or the movie Guardians. It kind of blurs the line between the two a little bit.
Yeah, because you've got your... Star-Lord with his big beard and everything.
Yeah.
Gamora, certainly. They all look kind of off, and Groot's sort of kind of that teenage grown-up Groot. He looks a bit like the Predator, to be honest. Yeah,
and the Collector is kind of more looking like the comic book version than he is the kind of movie.
It's a legal differential, not quite the actors, but you get who they are. I thought it was a little standalone comic. It was quite fun. I quite enjoyed it. I sort of read it going, oh, I wonder if this is what happens in the ride.
And it's pretty much the setup.
Yeah.
Like, it's pretty much the setup.
I thought it was fine. I wouldn't subscribe to a series of it per se, but as a one shot.
Yeah.
It was fine. Why don't you like Guardians of the Galaxy? Why?
I don't know. No, but blah. That's my review.
So you're not going back to Disney, long story short.
I would definitely go back to Warner Brothers Studios.
Yeah, and sounds good.
And I think I'd go back to Universal again, actually.
Sweet.
But
well, hopefully I'm with you.
Well, there's another option as well in the States that you and I have done. yeah. is Six Flags.
Oh, yeah.
And that has loads of DC-themed rides on it, most of which we bottled and didn't go on.
Yeah, we were all, well, that's because a certain semi-regular cast member who won't be mentioned...
Mark Robbins.
Got a little queasy on one, and that gave us the fear.
Of course you did, yeah. Because I think we went on a couple of DC-themed ones, but I think the one that you and I both looked at and went, nah, was it the Green Lantern, where it's like a circular carriage where you're sat?
I want to say it's Riddler-related. To be honest, they changed the name.
They do, yeah, yeah. Yeah. There's one where it's like a ball that kind of drops, doesn't it, down like a kind of like a pinball machine. We're both like, nah. No, no.
We did buy some superhero capes though. Mark wore a Riddler one.
He did.
I had a Wonder Woman one, naturally.
He pulled it off nicely.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So, yeah.
So that's America.
America.
Yeah. Where do we go to from here, Stu?
Let's go to comics. We already started comics, didn't we?
Well, yeah, we could. We could go from America to the divided states of hysteria.
Let's do it, because I've spoken enough.
You see what they're doing there. So yeah, me and Stu read a fuck ton of comics in the interim of when you last heard from us. And we've been going to our local comic stand guy, Teddy Comics.
Yeah, market stand.
Yeah, we've got a little market stand that does comics now. And I picked up a few whilst you were still away, and this is one of the ones that I picked up purely for the cover alone. And oh boy, this comic's landed in some hot water.
I was about to say, were you aware of the controversy before you picked it up?
No, I picked it, I saw the cover, and oh, forgive me, Muslim friends, because I'm going to mispronounce this here. Is it an hijab? It's not, it's part of the hijab, but it's not. That's not what it's called. It's basically the face veil. So you've got a what I assume is an Aryan woman. You can see white skin, blue eyes through this hijab, black hijab, but the American flag is the veil part.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, this is pushing some people's buttons. Yeah. I'll see where it goes. And so, yeah, I didn't know anything about the offer. There's no real setup per se. Other than it tells you the elected president of the United States and most of his cabinet were assassinated in an aborted coup. And you're like, oh, fucking, all right, okay. Yeah. And everyone's still on high alert. And you just sort of join this character having an affair. And you're like, okay, yeah, fine. And then for the next several pages, it's like a collection of serial killers, ne'er-do-wells, just a real rough bunch are getting arrested, and you don't quite know why. And all the while, this intelligence guy is like, well, things are pretty rough here in America, and he's trying to track down his latest leads because he suspects there's going to be another terrorist attack. And it ends somewhat unceremoniously with a group of Muslim women in Western dress sort of emerging through an airport terminal, and they're all seemingly pregnant, to which it becomes clear a little bit too late that it's not really babies inside them, but explosives, to which they detonate with a mobile phone and they all blow up.
I think they're still pregnant, aren't they? They just got bombs up their chuffies is what...
Bombs up their chuffies?
Isn't there a scene earlier on where she's trying to insert one up there, or a bloke trying to insert one up there?
I didn't catch that.
Yeah. Did I just imagine that?
I think you might have done. But anyway, so yeah, you sort of read it and you're like, fucking hell, the fuck did I just read? And then the author has this rant at the back of it, this blog rant, where he's basically talking about, you asked for this, you know, I'll show you a comic with no safe spaces, and, you know, you social justice guys ranting online. This is what really fucking could happen.
Yeah.
Don't know what to make of it. Like, people are going fucking crazy because it's just like, a lot of people are calling it like a trash fire of a comic and like it's just being offensive for offensive sake. Yeah. I kind of want to know where it's going to go from here. That's what I didn't get
to say. Were you offended?
I wasn't offended by most of it, bar the bit that's really fucking landed it in hot water.
Yeah.
And that is the reveal of one of the characters being trans. And she's working as a sex worker. She's partying with a bunch of older men back in the hotel room, if you take my intention.
Yeah.
And it's suddenly revealed that, male genitals.
Yeah.
Which turns into like a fracas, and she's forced to kill these clients of hers as they turn nasty. Which is a huge no-no when you're dealing with trans characters. I don't have a lot of trans friends in my life, so I had to learn this because I was working on a video game that had a trans character, and I wanted to get to the bottom of as to why, you know, what was offensive to the trans community. How could we do this better? And that's one of the things that I learned, is like, you don't use what's called the outing of a trans character as a storyline. That's massively offensive. Like, you really have to concentrate on making it like empowering, otherwise you're just going to offend a trans reader. So there is a huge amount of upset online about this. By that same token, it's been rushed into a second printing because now everyone's like, this is so offensive. Well, I want to read it. But you are familiar with the author from before.
Yeah, so it's a writer and artist, Howard Chaykin, who's got, basically, he's got form for this. I mean, I remember back in the late 80s.
Yeah.
Reading, which I shouldn't have done kids because I was underage, Black Kiss, which was, the thing I remember about Black Kiss was it was bagged. It was like you couldn't read it in the shops. You had to, it was bagged. It was kind of went into multiple printings. And again, that had a trans character in it.
Right.
And I think, if this is my recollection of the series, it was kind of a Hollywood story where an actress, who's this lead trans character, ends up getting into scrapes.
Yeah.
And I remember it was all black and white. I remember it was just like there was loads of like graphic sex in it. That's the thing. Like, when you're like 15, you're like, that's the reason you're buying it. It's like, look at the boobs.
Essentially, yeah, it's not.
Yeah.
Let's not mess about you. That's what
So he's got form for like the kind of sexy trash stuff, but he also was behind American Flag, which kind of dealt with like the political side of things.
Yes.
And he's quite, I mean, from what I remember, his politics wise, he's quite left leaning.
Yeah.
And I think this is like, you know, I think he even says in his editorial at the back, you know, when he was putting it together, when they were presenting the comic for the first time at Images like show, it was, you know, everyone was like, well, Hillary Clinton's going to be.
Yeah,
going to be president.
Yeah,
you know, so what became a kind of what if Trump got in?
Yeah.
In the future thing is now
it's here.
It's actually happened. So.
Yeah.
So no, I mean, I read it. There's a lot going on. There's the thing I don't like about it. They do this thing where you'll have like captions for like our main character. I've forgotten his name now. It's terrible, isn't it?
Well, no, it's kind of telling that we don't remember his name.
Yeah, they have this thing where you'll have like captions with this guy talking and they split it between panels, and then you've got other stuff happening, and it's like, what do I read? Do I read his panels on the page first and then read the dialogue?
Yeah.
It's like you kind of skip between. If you think about it, if you watch a TV show, you don't have one character start talking and then it cuts to something else. Then it comes back to him, you know, to kind of continuing his sentence. It just doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
I think that's what. But I know a lot of comics do that. They've always done that, and to me, it just doesn't make any sense. It doesn't read right. Doesn't feel right.
I did like that. There's constant faint flashes of like social media.
Yeah.
That was quite clever in terms of like commentary. I mean, it's been done before, but like it was just nice to see it like omnipresent and almost choking.
And again, it goes back to stuff that Howard Chaykin used to do in the 80s, and it kind of reminds me a little also of his contemporaries, so like Frank Miller in The Dark Knight, where you have that kind of, you know, your cut to news reports, TV news reports and gossip shows, that kind of thing. It's kind of been done, but then these guys are the ones who kind of created it in a way.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, if you're going to rip off anyone, rip off yourself.
I'm just really surprised that this comic can exist.
Yeah.
No qualms with that. Like I say, I don't know where the story's going to go, so I want to pick up the second issue before I consign it to the trash fire, because some parts of it are interesting. But I think Image really biffed it by allowing the trans character. Like, they knew how it was going to go down. And in one hand, you know, they could maybe go down the lines of respecting the artist's wishes and how he wants to portray it. On the other hand, they did, like, a Pride. It's Pride this month. So they've done, like, a Pride cover.
Ah, so that's, sorry, yeah, that's, I was trying to think, it's easy for me not to be offended by that.
Yeah.
But I remember there was something about it, and you just hit the nail on the head, it was the pride thing.
Yeah.
Like, for me, I'm like, I don't want to ban this. Like, yeah. It was alright, yeah. You know, we'll read another issue of it. But if I was offended,
yeah,
I'd be like, well, I won't buy it anymore, and that's the best way.
Yeah.
But I think the pride thing was a bit like, oh, no, guys, come
it's
on.
Terribly insane. Yeah. It's bizarre. There's both trans people on both sides are, like, arguing amongst themselves, like, saying, you know, this is terrible, like, the whole outing thing is offensive. And then the other half is saying, well, this does happen to trans sex workers.
Yeah.
So where do you draw the line? It's not for me to say, but...
No, I think the issue is, like, it's having a pride cover to me. My takeaway from that, I'll be like, oh, it's you know, it's a gay creator or something, and it's not. No one as part of the creative team is.
Or
it's got something to do with themes that would appeal to the LGBT community, and what it is, it's trash, isn't it? It's that kind of.
They're literally waving the pride flag, and you know, someone in that community is going to pick it up, and they're going to see the absolute worst example of how to handle this character.
Yeah. It's a bit, yeah, it is, and it's just like, no, I think that's where they biffed it. But as a comic itself, it's like, yeah, it's Howard Chaykin stuff. If you know his stuff, that's what it is.
I am going to pick up issue 2 before I can sign it to a great trash fire in the sky. And it may turn around. Right now, I'm just like, this is a hot potato. I don't know what to do with. that's the strap line that no one wants. But there it is.
There you go. You can have that one.
Yeah. All right, what's next? Next is one that I was kind of looking forward to, but we sort of left this franchise in a bit of a strange place last time, because I picked up Darth Maul and it was just not what I wanted.
No.
It was a chance to just explore the lore, and it just hit me in all the bum notes and ended with a daft kid story about robots, which would have been fine on its own. But along comes the very next month, Darth Vader. They've rebooted Darth Vader. I mean, we did have a brilliant Darth Vader run beforehand.
Straight after A New Hope, wasn't it?
Literally straight after A New Hope. So, new teams come on board. You know, they've decided that Darth Vader shifts units. It's probably out of all the Star Wars comics that have come along, Darth was definitely the best. So we've got a new starting for Darth. Instead of at the end of The New Hope, this one is set directly after Revenge of the Sith, which is obviously
brand new shiny Darth.
Yeah, which everyone knows, the best Star Wars movie, right? Right. It's literally starts with the no
amazing
bit.
Amazing.
So I was like, all right, let's fucking go with this. And it's better. It's almost the exact same story as the Darth Maul comic.
Oh, right.
But it just somehow works a little better.
Yeah.
I mean, like, again, you've got the Emperor comforting his new protege.
Yeah.
So you go, no, but instead of in the Darth Maul comic where he's like, oh, you know, don't rush out there, Darth Maul, don't get yourself noticed. In this one, no sooner has Darth Maul just gone, no.
Vader.
Yeah, beg your pardon. He's like, well, it's your fault, Padme's dead. And then he just starts electrocuting him. And he's like, you prick. He's like, don't you go no on me again and force push me against the wall. I'm going to electrocute you. And he's like, oh, stop it. To which the Emperor, Sidious, whips out his lightsaber and he's like, right, come on then, fight me. And he's like, I can't, Obi-Wan's fucking taking me lightsaber, hasn't he? When he chopped me up in lava. Yeah. He's like, oh, you prick. Right, what we're going to do then is we're going to get you a new lightsaber. So they attend in the shadows. The Jedi Temple's all fallen and the Imperial forces round up all the lightsabers and they're like, right, obviously the Jedi were bad, you all knew that. We're now going to ceremoniously burn the lightsabers.
Mm.
So Darth's like, well, I could add a lightsaber. Yeah. And he's like, ah, you prick, you could have had a lightsaber.
It's actually a dialogue from the comic.
Yeah, it should be. It should be just Scottish retelling of it. And what I quite like is he's like, this is maybe what the Darth Maul comic was missing, is it's just a chance for the Emperor to be extra evil.
Yeah.
And they throw in this bit of knowledge, which even as a Star Wars nerd, I didn't know, but they're making this canon. He's like, as you know, the crystals inside the lightsaber are alive, and the reason Sith crystals are red is because you have tortured these crystals to the extent that they bleed, and they bleed blood red, and that's what channels the anger and the hate and everything.
So the green ones, that's what, a lot of mucus?
Fuck knows.
Oh, okay.
Fuck knows. But anyway, so he's like, right, you're going to have to go and get yourself a lightsaber and torture it until it turns red, which might be a bit of a problem, as you've just helped me kill off all the Jedi Order. So he bungs him off to a far-off planet, literally dumps him. He's like, right, we're going to touch down here, and there's a ship for you. And he's like, oh, your ship's been stolen. That's too bad. Well, use your new robot eyes to go and find him. So he does. Darth Vader sets off across the desert. It's always a fucking desert world. Yeah. Walks for a little bit, finds his ship in a sort of like pirate hangout where they're like, oh, can't believe this weird futuristic high-tech ship was just lying in the desert. We're going to make a fortune over this. And in true Darth Vader style, he absolutely fucks them.
Brilliant.
Yeah, just smishes them all with machines, crushes them, kills them all in incredibly inventive and cruel ways. Mm. Essentially like the end of
Rogue One. Yeah,
he goes full on Vader and just kills everyone. And yeah, you're left with him going off on his little adventure. He's now going to go and find a Jedi, presumably, and a lightsaber to turn. Which I'm all right. By the end of it, I was like, yeah, all right. There's still several pages to go. And it's another another story about a cutesy telling of robots. This time, Little Mouse Droid. Same artist, same team, but this story is like a little darker because it's got Darth Vader choking out his underlings. So I'm like, yes, it does fit in with the comic and the tone, but again, I would rather have just had several more pages of this really good story.
Yeah.
So yeah, I appreciate it's really contradictory because it's almost beat for beat the same story.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right. But I will be prepared to give this another go and pick up issue two.
Okay. Well, that's not... Because I thought you were going to give this a good kicking, but you... I was a bit surprised by it. All right, I wasn't that fussed about checking it out, but maybe I should.
Maybe you should. It's just... Anytime there's a Star Wars story, it instantly goes up in my estimations if it gives the Emperor an excuse to be a prick.
Yeah.
Like, even more of a prick than he is.
So who's the team on this? It's Charles Soule writing it with Giuseppe Canincoli on pencil. It's quite a nice artwork, actually.
Oh, yeah, yeah, very much so. Very much so. But, I mean, I went through most of the Gillen run on Darth Vader before just babies got in the way and I'm just getting them all collected now.
Yeah, it was good. It kind of, to be honest, with diminishing returns on it.
And then Afra kicked off.
I've stopped on that as well now. I've got a bit of apathy with the Star Wars comics. I'm getting the main one out of just kind of a habit, but it's not really doing anything. They've just done this new crossover, The Screaming Citadel, which, since I'm only buying Star Wars and refusing to buy others that are part of the crossover, for me, it's like two issues that have just been a waste of money. Because
yeah, I hate that. I picked up... Suicide Squad versus Justice League the other day, which was all right. And then you get to the end of the comic, and it's like, make sure you have this is the checklist. And
yeah,
it's fucking all over the place.
There was a time when I would do that.
Yeah,
and I decided I'm not doing it. Unless I'm buying those comics anyway, I'm not doing it anymore. Not doing it. Not going to fall in that trap.
Yeah,
he's just encouraging them.
It was just like I'm like, yeah, this was good. Spoilers. It's basically. Justice League and Suicide Squad have to team up against an even scarier Suicide Squad, which has Lobo in it. I'm like,
Just because.
And I'm like, alright. And then I saw the checklist and I'm like, oh, come on. I'm not.
No. I only read the Suicide Squad issues of that, so.
Yeah.
I got half the story.
Well, that's just it, and that's fucking pointless.
Yeah.
This is what keeps driving you and I to the more independent indie comics or limited run.
When you say that, I still buy an inordinate amount of superhero stuff.
Oh yeah, you and your bloody X-Men.
Yeah. Well, no, I've stopped reading those now. But what I did pick out, I'm going to chuck it over. And again, it kind of leads into crossovers, is DC's next big event, they're calling.
Well, they are going for an event with this. So this isn't Rebirth, then?
No, this is part of the Rebirth universe. Yeah. It's Dark Days.
Yeah.
It's going to be called. It's going to be leading into something called Dark Days Metal, I think.
Oh, all right.
Right, okay. So this is The Forge, written by Scott Snyder, who had a very successful run on Batman.
Sure did.
New 52.
Yeah.
I don't really rate him that much, I'll be honest.
A few people have said this to me.
A bit overrated. But anyway, I picked this up because it's got a really cool cover. It's kind of like this, like a near future statue of Batman and these kind of War of the Worlds style bat droids patrolling what looks like a wreck of Gotham.
Sure, why not?
And your modern era Batman is kind of like, you know, holding a torch.
Yeah.
Looking up. And by a torch, I mean, you know, old school.
Yeah.
Burning branch. I don't know. So for a setup.
Great fucking intro, can I just say, of Batman. Like, you get through the bump at the start where you're like, what the fuck's happening? And then suddenly Batman crashes into a laboratory in a big mech suit and he's like, oh, I've just swum down the volcano in this mech suit to come and rescue you, Doctor. Come on. I'm like, that's a good intro.
It's a good intro. It's like, it's a bit Pacific Rim. Okay, the problem with this is it poses a question, or poses to answer a question no one ever had. Unless, listener, you may have been someone who wanted to know the mystery behind the metal that connects Dr. Fate's mask.
Instantly I'm out.
Right, Aquaman's trident.
Yeah, don't care.
And Wonder Woman's bracelets and stuff. I mean, as far as I was concerned, it was like, it's just magic and shit. That was it. Yeah, so you need to know.
That's all I wanted.
We need to know. So basically, it's something called like Nth Metal is some kind of... It kind of links back to like Hawkman.
Right.
So the character of Hawkman is this kind of, you know, him and his Hawkman and Hawkgirl keep dying and being reborn. So it goes back centuries. So when they were first...
Yeah.
Alive, and I guess some kind of alien spaceship crash lands, and
from
this metal, I'm presuming a lot of artifacts. To me, it just feels like they're forcing something.
They absolutely are. You don't need it. You just don't need it. You just accept that Wonder Woman, that she got her stuff because it's from gods. That's fine.
And this whole forced, but it's also connected to Aquaman's trident.
No, it's fucking not.
It's not. So yeah, I mean, it's got a roster of artists who it kind of goes from one art to the other for no discernible reason. You know, it's got some good art. You've got some good stuff from Jim Lee. There's a whole scene with Green Lantern and Duke Thomas, who's Batman's new sidekick.
Yeah.
And they're investigating a mystery within the Batcave, which leads to, spoilers, one of the Jokers.
Because
apparently DC Universe now has three Jokers.
There are three Jokers, everyone. In the same... astral plane time and
stuff.
Yeah.
So it's all linked to this mysterious metal. Batman meets up with Mr. Terrific, and there's a bizarre cameo from Plastic Man, which I wasn't expecting. That actually was quite cool.
Yeah.
And then Batman ends up going to the Fortress of Solitude. Superman, and it's one of those moments where I actually had my head in my hand when I first read it, where it's supposed to make out that basically Batman has gone to Superman in the past and got him to let him build a room that no one can get into and Superman can't even get into in his fortress.
Yeah.
And basically Batman has to get Mr. Miracle, who's famous for, you know, being an escape artist, to actually get into this secret room.
Yeah.
Which... I didn't get what it was at first glance, but basically within this secret room is the Anti-Monitor's Tower, which throws back to the Crisis of Infinite Earths in the 80s. DC is still fucking just going back to stuff they've done.
They don't need to do it.
Multiverse.
They don't need to do it.
And so this, you know, the whole thing with this, it's like the big question, the big sort of marketing tagline is, what is the Dark Multiverse? And I don't really know or care. Really? It's like they've just made something up to try and do an event, and it's just... I don't know. I mean, Scott Snyder says in his write-up for this, you know, this goes back to the beginnings of his, you know, Batman stuff and little questions that he'd been putting in and Easter eggs and stuff. You know, I don't know. Like I said, I wasn't really a fan of his stuff. I have read most of it, but there's a lot of stuff I just didn't realise you're supposed to be going, interesting.
Oh, crumbs.
Will that ever be resolved? So, yeah, if you're a fan of this stuff, if these are questions you've been asking for, then...
If this is you, knock yourself out.
Knock yourself out.
The problem... the problem that we have is it's just, it puts off people. Like, it's so hard to pick up a, any good comic, no matter which issue it is, you should be able to pick it up and within a few pages know where you are, who everyone is, what's going on. And no.
So, exactly, and the point being, someone like me who has read Crisis on Infinite Earths, you know, I didn't pick up straight away that that image was the Ant-Man as its tower.
Yeah.
And it's like, that is something from 33 years ago. And it's like, who is this aimed at? You know, it, again, it's just aiming at niches within niches.
Yeah, I don't understand. Like, you've got this whole Suicide Squad movie, like, aimed at tweens. Like, you want these fans of, like, Harley Quinn to be like, oh, yeah, fuck yeah, let's pick up the new Batman. Yeah. They're going to be like, what is going on? What is this?
Yeah.
And it's maddening. I don't understand. I don't understand why they insist on doing this.
On the flip side,
yeah,
the current Batman series, written by Tom King,
yeah,
is fucking great. Instantly pick up, and you know if you know who Batman is, that's all you need to know. That's it, and it's kind of really easy going.
And I think we'll talk next time. It's just going into a new arc.
Yeah,
and I think most of the DC mainstays are going into a new arc at 25. Like Aquaman's just got a new change of team and a new storyline. Amazing artwork on Aquaman. We'll talk about it in the next one. It's so good. You should be able to pick anything up and just read it. And it's maddening.
I totally agree.
Well, I'm glad we're in accord.
Yeah.
We get so much work done when Carly's not here.
And on that note, I guess we should end it there.
Yeah, I guess we should. We will be back shortly with a lot more comics to review, and I should dare say something will happen in the interim.
I guess it's going to be Spider-Man Homecoming.
Oh God, yeah, that's not far.
Remember the next one we'll talk about? It's only a week or so away, so I think that's the next show we'll have.
I was going to say, I was excited because I just finished Telltale's Batman game. I was going to talk about that, but oh, got freaking Spider-Man on the go. All right, well, join us next time. Follow us on social media. Say hello, come and play with us. We're on BAM Comics Cast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Nope.
Yep.
Are we?
Yeah.
Oh.
This is me breaking the news. I'm exclusive.
I didn't even know this. I didn't know it's for listeners.
I did it when you were making a cup of tea. I should really fucking set up that Instagram. No, I have.
Yeah.
So you can follow us on there if you're so inclined.
And Tumblr.
And yeah, like and review every episode, especially on iTunes. Give us a sensual 5 stars. It really helps us shoot up the ratings and smash all that other competition.
That would be lovely.
It would be lovely. Or, I mean, if you think it was a 4, give us a 4. Just give me a 3. Just, I don't know, do something else. Have a cup of tea.
Yeah.
Go, don't bother.
And the 3 is the lowest it can go anyway, so there's no point trying to put anything else in.
Yeah, yeah. I assure you, the 2-in-1 buttons don't work. If you want to find me on Twitter, I am Neil Gortz with a Z. Stu, what are you?
You can find me under Stunami. And even though she's not with us this episode, you can find Carly under C Moxinator.
And she'll definitely tweet you back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably saying, look, I wasn't on the episode, leave me alone.
Probably. There's going to be a lot of comics to talk about next episode, and a lot of things. So join us next time. But until then,
bye.
What are you going to play this out with? It's very Batman heavy.
Should just be loud Batman then.
Yeah, just Dark Days of the Forge really wasn't worth it.
How much did I pay for it?
Straight on eBay.